All right, thank you, Ron. Good morning, everyone. It's great talking to you all today. And today I just want to talk to you a little bit about the relationship between yield and protein and use some of our studies to show you what we have learned so far. And so when we talk about end-use quality in wheat, there are multiple aspects involved in it. And protein is basically the tip of the iceberg when we talk about it. And it's a good indicator of end-use quality. As we know, end-use quality involves several aspects, including the kernel characteristics, flour characteristics, and bread characteristics. And so that's kind of an analogy that I consider in my mind. And I think it's something that it's a good parameter for us to understand the wheat end-use quality and understand the end-use quality of our varieties. And so there is this notion that, or this understanding that to select a variety with a good end-use quality or with good protein, we have to give up on yield. But what I've been seeing lately in our studies is that I think this relationship may be changing a little bit in some breeding programs. And so there is a negative relationship between protein and yield, and I will not deny that. And this is data from the variety trials that are testing intensive management and standard management in Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. So here we have more than 4,000 data points, and the data points here are varieties. And so we have here protein on the y-axis and yield on the x-axis. And you can see here that this darker cloud, the blue cloud here, are the data points or the varieties that were under intensive management. And the orange color here representing varieties under standard management. And we can see that in intensive management being an additional 40 pounds of nitrogen and fungicide application. And we can see that intensive management is helping here to reduce that or to lessen that negative relationship between yield and protein. And so we are interested in understanding better what are the varieties that show this lesson or this or that have a less impact on this relationship or understand the variation, the physiology behind this variation in between yield and protein. So we developed this study here. I'm working on this study with Dr. Arnau, where we planted this last growing season. So we have just a preliminary results from this study where we are looking at two locations, evaluating four varieties in two nitrogen rates. So the varieties here, our goal with those varieties were to test varieties that have similar yield levels, but differ in protein. And so the pair of varieties would be high yield and high protein, or high yield and average to low protein. And then we were interested in looking at those varieties when no nitrogen at all is applied, and when we have an application of 120 pounds of nitrogen. And like I said, here what you can see are the yield levels of those varieties at the zero nitrogen and in 120 pounds. So the bars here representing each variety. So Double Stop, Gallagher, Green Hammer, and Iba. And what you can see here in this figure is that the application of nitrogen helped to increase yield, almost doubled yield, but we did not see any significant differences in yield among varieties in this year in this study. And so when we look at when we plot protein and yield all together with those varieties, you can see here how nitrogen helped to increase the protein in varieties. So here we have Gallagher and Iba in Double Stop and Green Hammer. When no nitrogen was applied, you can see a trend for Double Stop and Green Hammer having higher protein than Gallagher and Iba in this case. And then when nitrogen was applied, Double Stop and Green Hammer being more responsive to that nitrogen application in comparison to Gallagher and Iba. And one interesting thing here is that when no nitrogen was applied at all, double stop and green hammer had very similar protein levels than AIBA when nitrogen was applied. So just emphasizing that some varieties will require more nitrogen to maximize that protein than others. And so in this study, we were interested in understanding that physiology behind the differences in protein levels of varieties. And so one way that we looked at this was by collecting biomass at different times during the growing season. So here we have zero nitrogen and the full end rate, or the 120 pounds. And we collected biomass at jointing, heading, soft dough, and at harvest. And the line colors here, the line types, what you see here are varieties. And you can see that there was no significant differences among varieties in growth or in biomass during the growing season when no nitrogen was applied. And then when we had that nitrogen application, we also did not find any statistical difference, but we could see a trend for green hammer maintaining that greater biomass, especially later in the season in comparison to other varieties. But like I said, this is a trend. And so we decided also to look at the nutrient accumulation, so nitrogen accumulation during the growing season. And here also, we did not see any significant difference during the growing season in nitrogen accumulation for those varieties that when no nitrogen was applied. And then when nitrogen was applied, we also saw that trend for green hammer having greater nitrogen uptake than, especially than AIBA here, than the varieties here in the bottom. And so this is just a preliminary result, something that we are still exploring. It was the first year of this study. We are still collecting data and continue to work on this to help us understand what's happening on the physiology aspect of those varieties. So I don't have any closure other than this as of now, but just stay tuned that we'll have more results coming this next growing season. And so just another case of study here that I wanted to talk about today, it's about our variety trials in Homestead. So as you can see here in that trial, we have varieties with a great leaf health, as you're seeing here, and some varieties that showed more like diseases and leaf borne. And so we, in that trial, we could clearly see variety differences visually when I went there in a mid-season. And so it was one of the trials with the highest yielding trials in our variety trials ever. So the average yield of this trial was 107 bushels. But we had some varieties yielding up to 120 bushels or so. And this growing season was the first season that we posted protein side by side with yield. And the reason for that, it's because I believe it is important for us to look at varieties and understand and have that information side by side when making variety selection. And one thing here that our data showed is that there is a way to select a variety that is both high yield and with good protein levels. And so here I think we can see better. So the relationship between protein and yield. And you can see the variety. So when we plot here, we see the average yield 107 of the trial, and we plot here the mean of the protein in the trial 11.2. You can see here in this quadrant two varieties that were both above average yield and above average in protein, and so that some varieties were above average in both. But then if we consider here the 12% protein, a desirable level for the baking and milling industry, we also see here in this quadrant that there are varieties that were very high in yield and also with those above or 12 levels or above in protein. And so that was very interesting in seeing in this past growing season. And so this result here that we are seeing is from one location in one growing season. So interested in looking at this. So, you know, we conduct a variety of trials in multiple locations, but we don't test all varieties in all locations. So this past season, we tested about 10 varieties in 16 environments. And that's what I'm going to be showing here in this data set today. So I selected about 7 varieties that were tested across 16 environments for us to see how would they behave across environments. As we know, there is a strong GBIE effect in yield and protein. And so what you're looking here in this figure is the average yield of the varieties on the y-axis and the average yield of the environment on the x-axis. And the lines here representing each variety. So this one line here in the middle in black, basically means that where the values are the same for the environmental yield and the average of the varieties. And so any line that is above that 101 line is yielded more than the average yield of the environment, and the lines that are below yielded less than the average yield of the environment. And one thing that you can see here, for example, this blue line here, this variety WB4269, is that in low yielding environments, it tended to yield less than the average yield of the environment, but it was a variety very responsive to the yield level of the environment. So as the yield level of the environmental increased, its yield also increased. But we also have cases here, for example, these two lines here that are OK Corral and Showdown, showing a great and wide adaptability to different environments, as it was parallel to the 1-1 line all the way from low yielding level to high yielding level. So showing a very wide adaptability. And when we look at protein for those same varieties, so some varieties, they switch at places and following that negative relationship between yield and protein. But some varieties, they remained in parallel with that protein level of the environment. And as you can see here, those top lines, we have Baker's End, Double Stop, and some lines here, like this one here is Miss Gold, and OK Corral here following very according here to the environment, especially as the environmental protein level of the environment increases. And so as we know, there is a tremendous year-to-year variation, especially in Oklahoma, and the year-to-year variation affects both yield and protein. So then I just gathered 3 years of information here from Lahoma for us to look at yield and protein across years to see what would be that variation across varieties. So here what you're going to look at on your x-axis here, we have 3 years of data. So Lahoma 2018, 19, and 20. And here we on the x-axis, we have the yield deviation. So and here we have the bars represent the varieties. And anything on the right side of this black line here, or from the zero, departing from the zero to the right, means that a variety yielded more above the average yield of the environment. And anything on the left side means that a variety yielded less than the average yield of the environment. And you can see here, for example, Ag Icon 3 years in a row yielded more than the average yield of the environment. And for example, here, AM Eastwood 1 year yielded more and the other 2 years yielded less. So there is that variation in yield across years. And that's why we included that in our report as well. When we released those results, the variety report, because it's very important to look at the variety performance across years. And when we look at protein, we see that same trend, that same variation, although some varieties usually showing a consistent higher in both yield and higher protein across years. So for example, here we have Double Stop showing 3 years in a row to yield greater, producing greater yields than the average of the environment in protein in those same years. So that's what I'm saying. There are opportunities for us to use varieties that are both high in yield and high protein. We just need to have that information available and look for that. And with that, I think that this just ties up with what I am saying. And I believe that the way the milling and the baking industry are becoming more vocal on the things that they want, I think it is important for us to keep up with that pace and to keep our eyes open for varieties that have a good quality and also produce good yield, because we can see from some of our data that there are opportunities for that, and there are varieties available with those good qualities. And just as a take-home message here, we can lessen that negative relationship between yield and protein through management up to a certain point. So what I showed there with intensive management, so additional nitrogen application. But we cannot forget about the genetics and the genotype by environmental effects on the yield and protein. And understanding the quality characteristics of those varieties and what end users are looking for, I believe will help us to stay competitive in the wheat industry. And with that, thank you. That's all I had.
Amanda, you were speaking of the environment. You know the environment we're in right at the moment. We've got this stretch of extremely cold weather. We're not going to get above freezing for probably 10 days or so. Given the current stage of development of the wheat crop, what are you thinking? How much damage might happen to this 2021 crop?
So I think it depends on how long it will stay like this in the stage of the crop, for sure. Like, we collected some samples last week and this week, and actually, and I believe the varieties that are not as advanced in growth will have more protection, but it is supposed to get very, very cold. So I think we'll have to keep our eyes on it. But I'm hoping that for varieties that are not as advanced. So I collected some samples, and I found that we found it. Robert Calhoun here helped me for sure. We found that some varieties are already at first hollow stem, but those are very early varieties. In those, we would be more nervous about this cold weather than varieties that are not as far ahead than others.
So if they are a first hollow stem, that could be very problematic. We see zero or close to zero for a night or two.
Yeah, I think then we would have to keep our eyes on it and see what would be the impact on it.
Alrighty. I know I saw that. We've got a couple of our area agronomists that are out there on the call on the Zoom today, so I'm sure they'll be watching closely for you as well.
So just before we go here, I just want to say thank you for everyone. Thank you for our senior agriculturist, Robert Calhoun, who has been of a great help in our program, Oklahoma Wheat Commission, Oklahoma Wheat Producers, and especially, I wanted to say special thanks to our cooperators for helping us through this year. And thank you.
Very good. Amanda, thank you so much.